Hello, I'm John Wilson. Thank you for downloading this edition of Master Tapes from BBC Radio 4.
Welcome back to Master Tapes and to Soul to Soul, playing live here at the BBC Maidervale Studios. In the first part of this programme, we heard from frontman Jazzy B about the making of the 1989 album Club Classics Volume 1, the massive international hit Back to Life, and how the band grew out of the sound system and club scene of the late 1980s.
This name Thatcher, I thought it was a geezer at the time and everyone was going on about. I thought, yeah, he's really helping us out. We just wanted to be the biggest sound system in the world. And there was always that rivalry with different sounds.
We're a sound system.
The sound system is synonymous with most people from the Caribbean in terms of our community. That was literally the voice of the community.
If you missed it, the A-side is there to listen to or download at the Master Tapes website. In this part, the B-side, we'll have questions from our audience here at Maidervale, and I'll be asking Jazzy about his musical upbringing, his influences, and the legacy of Soul to Soul. Before we get the first question, Jazzy, I normally ask at this point about the importance of the audience, but in the case of Soul to Soul, as we heard in the first part of this programme, the relationship is crucial because this is a band which evolved out of an existing scene. So even though it was a loose collective format, musically, were you responding to demand?
No, I think that whole thing happened a lot later. All the things that a normal band would experience in the beginning, we've done in complete reverse.
Right.
In complete reverse. But in terms of what we were delivering, as long as it was good for us, we deemed it good for everybody
else. For the audience as well. And you said in the first part of this programme, even though Soul to Soul, very much a musical melting pot, bringing together, you know, the reggae, the soul and the funk, in the very early days, you were dropping in a bit of David Bowie and Elton John there into the sound
system. I was a huge Ziggy Stardust fan in school days and stuff like that. Benny and the Jets as well. The Carpenters and some of that early rock and roll gear.
It all feeds there somehow into the Soul to Soul sound, does it?
It all definitely
does. It may not
does.
Be immediately apparent, but it's all in there somewhere.
It really, you know, it's under there. There's this undercurrent. And Eddie Grant and the Equals and people like that, they were all very much, you know, the Last Poets and things like that. They were all the undertone of influences. You always had the American side, the bandstand with, you know, Don Cornelius and Soul Train and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you always sort of really wanted your own, you know, like, where's ours and stuff.
Well, we'll just leave it there for the moment because we might be stealing the thunder of our first questioner here, who is Andrew Bowen, a decorator, he says, who remembers Jazzy B in Bristol in the 1980s. Andrew, your question.
What has been your biggest musical influence?
Your single biggest influence. You talked about many people there, Jazzy, feeding into the Soul to Soul sound, but the single biggest influence.
Unfortunately, there isn't really just one, but two who are immediately come to mind. Curtis Mayfield, he's my encyclopedia, and my rock, my light at the end of the tunnel, had to be James Brown. Yeah, definitely. Those are my main influences.
Mm. Let's take you back to childhood, because you were born in North London, not as Jazzy B, funnily enough, but as Trevor Beresford Romeo, and in Hornsey.
That's
in
right.
North London.
Yeah.
What was home like?
Wicked. I had the best home life.
Big family, wasn't it?
Massive family. Got all the hand-me-downs, 10 of us.
10 kids?
Yeah.
Which number were you in the in
I'm kind of second to last.
All right.
So,
a lot of brothers.
The big piece of chicken on the plate, had no chance.
But on the upside, you had a fantastic record collection, I presume.
The best record. I nicked everyone's records, borrowed them.
So it was a musical household as well. Everybody was interested in music.
Every single person, probably on my street as well, everybody was into music.
Was it always playing at home then?
Yeah, man. Everything from, mainly my parents listened to a lot of country and western, which is a stable diet for most people from the Caribbean, from that age group, which was all about the storytelling, which again is one of the things that influenced me, as well as listening to people like Judy Zook and guys like that, who, again, I just loved the way she went about making her music and Start that whole the English really comes out of me today. I don't know what's up with that. Those are the kind of things right. that really, you know.
And in the first part of this programme, we talked about the positivity that was always coming through, particularly not only in the lyrics, in fact, but in the logo and in the mantra, in the slogan, in the, you know, the happy face, the thumping bass, mm-hmm. the loving race. Uh-huh. And that, in a way, when you think back to where Soul to Soul started and your roots with the sound systems, which was quite a politically turbulent time and a violent time on the streets, particularly for black people. Uh-huh. So where does that sort of sense of smiling face positivity come from then?
When you used to get stopped and that lot on the street, that was just part and parcel of who you are. And we actually used to say, oh, because we're so great, that's why you have to be stopped all the time. And, you know, you had to turn it around. You had to make these things positive, because otherwise I would have just been angry like everybody else, you know. But the fact that the music just penetrated every aspect of it. When it's about the music like that, it doesn't matter what class you are or colour, because it's just about the music. What I find as well, when you come out of London, which a lot of sounds, we're very territorial, so you usually stay in your area and stuff like that. One of the great things about coming out was to go to places like Bristol and going out to those sort of dances and hanging out in the bushes, you know, going to listen to...
Hanging out in the bushes? What do you
well,
mean?
Well, I mean, what you have to understand, in the early days of following some of the white DJs, there was a quota. So a lot of black guys weren't allowed into the clubs.
And you're right.
And, you know, following Robbie Vincent in particular, I remember how many times we got turned away from clubs having travelled like... I mean, I'm talking about when I was sort of 16, 17.
So you would follow DJs? You would follow sound systems around the country as well?
I was following DJs from the days of Emperor Roscoe.
Right.
All the way through to we got fed up of being not allowed in.
And if you weren't allowed in, if the quota had been reached on a certain night and you found yourself in the bushes because what, you were trying to get in around the back?
Yeah, that's the only other way in.
And, I mean, you say happy household, happy childhood, and memories of London in the late 70s when you first started to make your mark on the music scene and the sound systems coming together. In the first part of this programme, you talked about your sense of competition, mm-hmm. of wanting to be the best. But was there a collaborative sense of something new happening as well amongst people from Afro-Caribbean families as well and making their mark musically in Britain at the time?
What was really interesting about that time, if you put yourself back, we lived in a class system. Your brothers all had apprenticeships, everybody kind of worked in factories, or they kind of had their life a little bit planned out for them. I even remember my dad saying, stop your stupidness, when I wanted to be a paraffin boy. Do you remember the old paraffin rounds and stuff like that?
What were the paraffin rounds?
Oh, the paraffin rounds were the coolest job if you was a kid, if you was a boy, because you basically hung on to the back of the paraffin truck. Somehow the chicks loved it. I don't know what was going on with it. Girls loved the paraffin boys in our days, because you had the coal man. He used to have the coal. You remember the sack of coal and that lot?
Yeah.
Peg leg who used to come along and get all the scrap. And you had the paraffin boys, and the paraffin boys were the top of the line. These were all things like, as working class kids, you aspire to, believe it or not.
And the girls really wanted the paraffin.
And the girls
right.
down the Adventure Playground were always interested in the guy who smelt a paraffin.
Well, that's it. It's the fumes, isn't it?
There you go.
You
that's
smelt
a scent
good.
For you, isn't it? But all of those things are happy childhood memories which really bring me to mind of listening to certain artists. And we used to have these record players with like little suitcases and stuff.
The dancette players, the
yeah,
portable
the old record portable record players, yeah,
yeah? Like, yeah.
And then you were exchanging the records between your friends. Oh, I got this one. As soon as my brother went out, I went straight onto his Sansui amplifier and just rolled my tunes on that Garrard. He had one of those old Garrard turntables.
Hang on a minute. Did every member of the family have their own sound system in their
yes,
room?
Yes, technically. I mean, my parents put up with a lot of nonsense.
Ten kids. How many boys? How many girls?
It was like five, you know. There was at least three sounds going on at the same time.
At any one time.
And Sunday, we were to go to church to give my parents a break. You know, that's what it felt like that.
So there's more music feeding in from there as well. So, I
absolutely.
Mean, we talked about, I keep saying it, Soul to Soul, like a melting pot. Uh-huh. But the way you're describing it there, with the music coming from every bedroom in the house, that must have played a part later on.
Oh, look, even friends of my brothers and stuff like that who were all influenced by different music. So if I went round to Michael's, it was like that. If I went round to T. Jenks's house, he'd be playing some rockers and different type of music. There was one guy, Cornelius, that we used to almost wait for an invitation just to go to his house because he sold records, you see. And if you had the opportunity to go to his house, you know you weren't leaving empty-handed.
Let's move on. Let's get another question from the audience. This one's from James Lemon from Peterborough. He says he first heard club classics in his mid-teens, a truly inspirational album which quickly became a major part of the soundtrack to my life, says James.
Hi, Mr. B.
Hi.
Why do you think you became so popular with the White Suburban Massive?
The White Suburban Massive.
We had something interesting that the mainstream had never really heard about. And the fact that there was a lot of us being black people upwardly mobile moving into the suburbs and growing up like that, I suppose slightly one removed from Northern Soul and two removed from ska, it was a new era for us coming up in the 80s. The cultures exchanging ideas and the interesting transition we were making coming out of this sort of class system and going into Margaret Thatcher's world, as it were.
As we heard in the first part, you were an entrepreneur who had a very hard business head on. But, I mean, was that a happy accident as far as you were concerned? Or was it artistic intent that the music of Soul to Soul had so much crossover appeal that it wasn't, you weren't just playing in the clubs to the black kids? I mean, having gone down to the Africa Club a few times in Covent Garden in the late 80s, I remember there being almost as many, or probably always as many white faces as black faces in those.
It was always that with us, you know. That's why the set was called Soul to Soul. It was more about your heart and soul. And I think that's what pulled us all together. It was synonymous with us both, black and white. Particularly like Irish and Greek guys, we just had this synergy that, I don't know, it was just kind of weird.
Let me just throw it back to James Lemon very quickly. You were talking about there, listening to Soul to Soul, growing up in Peterborough. What was the appeal of the sound back
it's just,
then?
Just unique. It's just absolutely unique. At the time, it was an explosion. It was around about the same time, obviously, as the British dance music scene kicked off.
And you're talking about acid house in particular, the house scene.
The house
and then
scene,
acid
the whole house scene and everything. And you guys were there. You know, you brought us all up.
That's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you think about Acid House with the smiley face, which became their logo, which chimes with your mantra about the smile, the happy face. Did you see yourself as part of that scene or just running in tandem with what was happening?
Again, it was just a soundman mentality. If that's the way they were going on like that, the Hacienda and this, that and the other, we come for conquer. And the way we conquer, because we came with that house thing way before they even understood what 120 sounded like.
120 beats per minute.
Yeah. And those things were very interesting. So when mainstream went, you know, 200 miles an hour, like the Clappers and that lot, there was always going to be people who just wanted to hear the groove and the melody. And those were real people. They weren't that sort of like passing trade. The real heads were going to look for the groove. So we even slowed it down. And there was a gap in the market. And I always remember my music teacher saying, a great melody, Beresford, is never forgotten. So that was always, you got to come up with
a melody. You got that from school?
Well, yeah, the teacher, when she used to clap our hands, learning the scales and that lot. And then, you know, we'd come up with ideas and stuff, and she'd be like, there's no melody. There's absolutely no melody. And then she just drummed it into us.
Now, who was it? Who was
Miss Percival, her name was. She was my music teacher.
So somebody else who plays an unsung role in a soul-to-soul story.
Yep. A great melody is never forgotten, is what she said.
Okay. We've got lots of questions here this afternoon. Let's get another one. This one's from Mo Thompson.
Hi, Jazzy. How did the Americans react to you as a British soul group with a British soul sound and style? How did they take to you coming over there?
Well, when we first went to America, and again, we're talking about mid-80s, so it was very segregated. You had to go through the black division first, and they totally dissed us. They said that you were a bunch of punk rockers. What the hell are you doing? And you know, in America, they're twice the size of you. We're waiting to see the head of the record department. And we went in there like at 11 o'clock and we didn't get to see her until 4 o'clock. And post 4 o'clock now, I'm vexed. So I'm losing my English accent and turning into the most Butuyadi you've ever met in your life. And I went to America in full guise. And what a lot of people didn't realise, I did a residency in New York in the meatpacking district. So I had a little bit of a following. Mm. So I was feeding these guys like my white labels. That music was bubbling in New York. But when the mainstream record company came to us, they were looking for an American act with Jerry Curls and you know, that kind of a look. And they're looking at us dressed up in Nemeth clothes with our funky dreads sticking out. And it never connected until maybe 3 months later when the head of the black division said, oh, you guys are Soul of Soul. And the rest is history.
And, well, it took off. Back to Life was a big hit in the States, wasn't
it? Well, actually, Keep On Moving was the lick.
That was the one that took off.
And then every territory you went in, they had a different song. So LA loved Jazzy's groove. And New York was really into Keep On Moving.
And that's the track we're going to hear you playing us out with on this edition of Master Tapes. And it was the breakthrough to the mainstream in a way, Keep On Moving. The first top 10 single, the first track on the album, Club Classics Volume 1.
Keep On Moving is my personal favourite. It's my all-time favourite tune that we recorded because it's a full circumference of what's going on musically. And like Miss Percival said, the melody is very strong in there.
So you never get bored of playing it?
That one tune there, it sounds like reggae to me, it sounds like hip-hop, it sounds like jazz, it sounds like, you know, disco, everything that I could imagine we put into that record.
Let me just take it back to what Mo was talking about there, and he was asking about how did the Americans react. I took his question to mean how did the audience react. Of course, you interpreted it straight away in a business sense, yeah. And how were the record companies reacting? But when you took the music over, did you think of it particularly as a very sort of English sound? Did you think it was going to be hard to sell to an American audience?
I knew it was going to turn heads because the sound was completely different. They were listening to a very swing beat, very synthesized, weird sound, very thin synthetic sound. So when they heard this beat come in now,
and the heavy bass,
now, it would have come back to like listening to Philly records. They had strings in there, they had this, that, and the other, and it was maybe something that they were waiting for.
And were you conscious of taking a British sound and being a representative of the British scene as well? Was that important to you?
I guess in a funny way, yes, but what was more important to me was going there as a black English person, and we just had a distinctive style as well. We weren't mimicking anybody. We were doing our thing.
Right.
And they definitely did buy into us.
We've got to keep on moving with another question. This one's from Deborah Ives.
Hi. Who do you and the band admire most from the younger generation of UK artists?
Current artists, you mean, Deborah?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of great current artists, and I'm very, very personally proud of the whole British scene. I love everybody from Roots Maneuver going right across, you know, Dizzy Rascal and their man there, because they're actually just keeping it real. And we've managed to really create our own sort of sound, as it were. I go as far as places as Japan and Australia, and they only want the English sound. And sometimes it's just warming to my heart because I feel like we are Soul to Soul. We all had a part in that too.
And so it is a vibrant music scene at the moment. But also, when you were talking about going to America there and taking it as a sound system, in a way, it's a precursor to a lot of the music and the way that music's made at the moment, when it revolves around a producer, when you have a record made by X featuring Y. And when we look at the track listing for Club Classics Volume 1, in a way, that's what's happening on this record, isn't it? And you are the mastermind, you are the DJ, and surrounding yourself with a group of musicians who are coming and going the whole time.
And I found that later that wasn't anything new, because even if you go back to the early band leaders of, you know, I was fortunate enough to meet everyone from Roy Ayers and spend that time with Brother James Brown.
And Donald Byrd and people like that, who had the same sort of setup.
And it's really weird when people say things about having this entrepreneurial skill or whatever. It really wasn't. It was just purely about survival. That's what those guys did. So I wasn't reinventing the wheel at all.
Another question. This one comes from Meg Burley.
Hi. Of the many awards and accolades you've received since 2002, which one means the most to you? Being first in the business category of the 100 Black British list, receiving your OBE, or the Ivor Novello Award for being a pioneer and giving black British music a soul of its own?
Wow, those are three very important accolades. Which one would you take with you?
The one you didn't mention.
Of course.
This year, I was proud to receive a bench and a statue in the area that I grew up, and which is in Finsbury Park, and there's a sculpture of an image of myself. And if anything, that for me is the biggest accolade, because it's right next to the Arsenal Stadium where I was born and raised. It's right next to the barber shop that I went as a kid, and I still have the same Parry family today, still do the same grooming. It's right at Finsbury Park where I used to walk from Stroud Green Road to Harvey's record shop, which was a little tiny shop just there.
Oh, opposite the station.
Right. At the bus station.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's this sculpture of me there with a bench.
So we can sit and we can pass
the
time.
You can have a Guinness, sit there and reminisce and inhale all of the beautiful fumes from Finsbury Park right there. And for me, that's the biggest achievement, simply because some of my nieces who know nothing about what happened with Soul to Soul go to school in that area, and they've been taken there as part of their field trip. So it kind of gives me goosebumps when my little niece runs up and said, "I saw you on the statue there." So it's kind of cool, and I think something like that.
What about the OBE, though? And that was for services to music, wasn't it?
Yeah. I actually thought it was a tax form that was coming in.
Oh, when you got the letter?
When you get the letter.
So did you not open it for
a
while?
No, I didn't open it at all. Nicked, son. You're nicked.
So from the warehouse to the Queen's house, did she do the investiture?
No, that was by Prince Charles. Right. And what was nice about that was because I had made various investments in terms of time and effort to set up a recorded studio
for the Prince's Trust.
For the Prince's Trust, right. Many years ago.
So he was happy to see you again.
Yeah, we were familiar, right. And I'd been down that road a couple of times for a cup of tea and all that lot, you know.
So you really are part of the establishment now, aren't you?
Clearly, you know, I'm more British than anybody else.
Last question today comes from Annette Davis, a lifelong fan who says she first saw Soul to Soul in the early 1990s at the Fridge in Brixton.
Hi, Jazzy.
Hiya.
What does the future hold for Soul to Soul, and is there going to be any new music?
There's always going to be new music, and obviously the future for Soul to Soul is a happy face, a thumping bass for a loving race.
Well, that's it for this edition of Master Tapes. So as the band get ready, I'd like to thank the audience here at Maida Vale. I'd like to thank Karen Wheeler and all the other Soul to Soul musicians, and Mr. Jazzy B. This is the last of this series of Master Tapes. If you missed any of the recent programmes with Robbie Williams, David Crosby, Natalie Merchant and Edwin Collins, head to the Master Tapes online pages where you can download all of them. You can also hear exclusive bonus tracks recorded here during our Master Tape sessions and see videos of many of the performances, including this one. It's Soul to Soul, live at Maida Vale with Keep On Moving. Remember, you can find the full version of this and other songs recorded during our live sessions on the Master Tapes pages at the Radio 4 website, along with photographs, videos, and the other editions of the series.
The goal was to make a pure Johnny Cash record.
BBC Radio 4 is thumbing through the back catalogue.
You could play a guitar solo of 10 minutes because people were actually listening.
Re-releasing the best music documentaries from the archive.
I could get in a band and nobody would dare mention, like, oh, she's okay for a girl. You just wouldn't say that in the punk thing.
It's like throwing down the glove and saying, if you really want me to sing to you, you're really going to have to shut up and listen.
Radio 4 on Music, the new weekly download.
You have to fight and you have to keep fighting and never stop.
Available now on the BBC Radio 4 website. Oh,